See, this is the distinction between us and the way the Communist Party operates in Russia.
Yes, I'm aware of the current platform.
We don't have to agree when we leave, but at least we understand each other's points of view.
Yes, right. Because Wyoming's moving down away from town hall because people just...
And it's moving away from that very quickly. And if you don't, hold on, folks. If you don't, we'll have you escorted out.
There's nothing quite like a bunch of sniveling politicians thinking they're safe. Rhinos whining about Wyo Rhino. Here we go. Good morning, my friends, from very high above every sniveling rhino in this state. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the base of the Bighorns at the Cowboy State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Weekend Update. There's nothing quite like a bunch of sniveling redcoats trying to explain to their constituents how they really are Republicans, and in doing so, proving that they're not. My friends, it's beautiful. Of course, I'm referring to the foolishness that happened Thursday evening down in Casper, when the Natrona County Republican Party put on an event allegedly to debate Wyo Rhino. Now, it takes a heck of a lot of courage to challenge somebody to a debate when you know for a fact that they're not going to show up, that would kind of undermine the very purpose for their being in existence. They are anonymous on purpose, so that you are forced to take their scores for what they are. Take them or leave them. They explain their methodology, and then you decide whether or not it's credible. Whether or not there's a name attached to it really doesn't change what it is. We have a long history of political commentary, satire, political writings, criticism done under pseudonyms. One of the more popular and celebrated commentaries during the 1990s was entitled Slick Willie. Of course it was talking about Bill Clinton, but it was written under a pseudonym of Boston Tea Party. Not to be confused by the book of the same name written by Floyd G. Brown. I remember seeing the book clear as day when I was on a debate trip to Atlanta. We were traveling to the national championships that were being held in Florida. But here I am walking through the airport, and there's this little book entitled Slick Willie, written by Boston Tea Party. As far as political commentary goes, the little book was pretty funny. All of the political talking heads of that time tried to figure out who wrote it, and the closest that they could come is that the book originated in Wyoming. So it's not unheard of at all that political commentary is written under pen names. In fact, it's kind of celebrated. And of course, there's the biggest reason of why you would write political commentary under a pseudonym, that you don't want people like Ember Oakley, Jerry Obermueller, Joe McGuire, Joe McGinley, Barry Crago, Bill Landon, and Jim Anderson coming after you and threatening to sue you for your political opinion. Of course, I haven't heard any of these jokers utter the old L word, lawsuit, yet. However, one of the Pinocchio Joes in Natrona County has said that, you know, Wyo Rhino may be violating election law. That might lead you to believe that he's considering legal action if he were to find out who runs the Wyo Rhino site. I mean, it's not all that surprising. Joe McGuire is a lawyer, and many of the people that I mentioned that were down at the event in Casper are lawyers, so it's kind of to be expected that they might be thinking about the old L word. Wyoming Constitution be damned, of course. And that brings up another interesting point that I don't want to get lost in all of this. That one of the most important set of documents in American history, the Federalist Papers, was written under a pseudonym, Publius. So in no way can we say that writing something anonymously is not legitimate, does not have a history in America or is not absolutely protected by the First Amendment. Nevertheless, here is how the program started. Oh, and one more thing before I get going. I very much enjoyed listening to the entire event yesterday. If all of those redcoats down there in Natrona County and Barry Crago didn't think that I would have somebody in the audience recording the entire affair for me, you're absolutely out of your minds. One of the beautiful things about cowboy state politics is I have concerned conservative Republican grassroots citizens all across this state that are funneling information into the cowboy state politics memory banks. There's very little that escapes the all-seeing eye of cowboy state politics, much to the dismay of every redcoat in this state. And while we're at it, let me repeat to the folks that were down in Natrona County who were claiming that they're Republicans even though they don't agree with the Republican Party platform. They were Ember Oakley, Jerry Obermueller, Joe McGuire, Joe McGinley, Barry Crago, Bill Landon, and Jim Anderson. I don't want you to forget those names, and trust me, you won't by the end of this program. But anyway, here's how the whole thing started with MC of the event, our pal Rod Miller. Get a load of this.
We're here tonight to engage in that great American tradition. And we've invited Wild Rhino to participate in the debate. Because heretofore, they have not been willing to put their name to their political position. And I would submit that that is a prerequisite of engaging in the tete-a-tete of American politics. Especially so here in Wyoming, where we don't hide behind anonymity.
Hold on a minute. Now, the only thing I cut out in this little soundbite is a bunch of applause. I and you don't need to and certainly don't want to hear a bunch of redcoats applauding some ridiculous political editorializing. Anyway, here's the rest of it just to give you some more context.
With no further ado...
Drop the mic.
The aggression, the mic drop.
With no further ado, inviting wildrhino.com to come up and take their place on the stage.
Oh, come on.
The mic drop was perfect. So Rod Miller says it's a prerequisite to say who you are before engaging in anywhere in American politics, and specifically here in Wyoming. Well, Rod, that's not even close to being historically accurate. If it were to be found out who wrote the Federalist Papers, it could have very well endangered the entire Constitution. And you, my friend, know that. They were written anonymously so that they could be taken at face value. So the arguments contained in them wouldn't be confused with the people who actually wrote them. America has a very long history of anonymous political writings, and to claim that there isn't, or that somebody that writes something anonymously is somehow illegitimate, is absolutely an absurd argument. While I have the opportunity, let me just explain something. I've had a lot of listeners ask, what is the deal between you and Rod Miller? It's very simple. He and I disagree on a great many things. I've had him on this program a couple of times, and if you go back and listen to them, it's very clear that there's a lot of things that he and I don't see eye to eye on and probably never will. But we're able to have a political debate and at the end of it say, hey, why don't we just go have a fake beer? Of course, Rod would drink Pabst and I wouldn't. But he and I can have a debate, sometimes a very exuberant one, and not have to go get the dueling pistols out of the closet by its end. And if you haven't noticed, that's a very rare thing. And it's not on one side or the other. I'll give you a perfect example. I've invited Poisonberry Crago on this program numerous times. In fact, he has an open invitation to come on this program anytime he wants. I'll give him the entire hour. But thus far, he won't, because he knows that he'll be challenged. And he won't be able to say, oh, those are just lies. I didn't vote that way. That's not what I meant. You're misconstruing all of that. It's way more complicated than you think. Or whatever other excuse that he might come up with. And none of them have the excuse that, well, he's mistreated guests on his program. That's not even remotely true. There's over 500 episodes of this program, and not on a single one of them have I mistreated a guest, been mean, or been disrespectful in any way. I've even interviewed the founder of the Frontier Republicans, Gail Simmons. And even though I completely disagree with every single thing that she has done to this state, and there's been a lot, or at least she's attempted to do a lot, I still treated her with respect. So anyway, none of them have that excuse. Almost all of them have been invited onto this program, and the reason you don't hear the Redcoats come on here is because they're afraid of being held accountable. That's the only possible reason. That, and the only other thing that it could do, is completely damage their already confused narrative. That soapbox moment aside, back to all this ridiculousness that happened down in Casper the other night. And we'll do that after the break. But first, an absolutely obscene profit timeout. This installment of Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe a giant roping arena so you can do all that rodeo stuff when it's 10 below zero, or even a giant warehouse for your business, then the two guys you need to talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. These two guys are the experts in metal building construction. They've been doing it longer than anybody else around, and they definitely do a much better job than anybody else. So it doesn't matter what type of metal structure you're thinking about for your property, give Nick and Jesse a call at Morton Buildings. Their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. Oh, my friends, it's Saturday, and you know what that means. Hot wings from the Wing It food truck. They make the most incredible wings in the state of Wyoming. And the way that you can figure out where that truck is going to be is go to their Facebook page, the Wing It food truck, and there you can find exactly which town they're stopping in. That way, you can plan your entire week around where that truck is going to be. If you wanted to, you could begin every day with yummy, yummy hot wings. I personally recommend the garlic parmesan wings. They're incredible. Oh, and I tried the sweet habanero wings. Oh, to die for. Anyway, go to their Facebook page, the Wing It Food Truck, and you can find their schedule there. That way, you have no excuse about why you don't have hot wings in your possession. That's the Wing It Food Truck. If you're thinking about buying or selling your property, the first person that you should call is Rebecca Bextel. She's an expert in real estate. Last year, she sold around $25 million worth of property. And get this, she's even been known to talk buyers out of a particular purchase simply because it didn't meet their needs and wants. In real estate, you got to have a realtor that you can trust. And that person is Rebecca Bextel. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. One more time. Rebecca Bextel's number is 307-699-3519. And now, back to proving that Redcoats just can't stop lying to you. We began the program with a couple of sound bites, and one that is particularly illustrative is from Republican Representative Jerry Obermueller. Now, Jerry Obermueller is the chairman of the House Republican Caucus, or at least he was in the general session earlier this past year. So that means he's supposedly the head Republican in the House of Representatives. Don't forget that part, because it will tell you everything you need to know about the Republicans or the Redcoats in the House. There are 26 conservative Republicans in the House, but we're not talking about them today. Today, we're only talking about the Redcoats. So here's what Jerry Obermueller had to say. Listen closely, because he compares the Wyoming GOP to communists.
I generally do support it.
And hold on, one more thing. At the very beginning of this, he's talking about the Republican Party platform.
but I don't hold the state Republican Party higher than my voters that voted me in. See, this is the distinction between us and the way the Communist Party operates in Russia. On election day, the party is still in charge. The day after, the party is still in charge. You do what the party says. In America, the difference for us is that on election day, the people are heard. The people vote. We represent the people, and the party must receive and allow the constituents to make the choice of who they want them to represent. And the next election cycle always rolls around. But in the meantime, I personally am going to represent my constituents, the people who put me in office.
Oh, so only those people that you agree with. So when you get elected, you don't represent everybody in your district. It's just those people who happen to agree with your position. And there's this little problem of you calling yourself a Republican. You see, that tells people that you agree with a certain set of principles. And if the state party tries to persuade you to vote another way, they're acting like the communists. Got it. Now keep in mind, this is Jerry Obermueller. His voting record is terrible. And don't forget, this is the guy I told you about on December 26th of 2021 that may as well have been reading from the Communist Manifesto right in the Revenue Committee. And he's calling other people communists. Come on, Jerry. Here it is.
The role of government is to step into those places where private solutions do not exist and create those conditions. And that's why we get together. We throw our individual money into a hat so we can do for each other what we can't do for ourselves. It's the nature of government, and we need to take control of that piece for ourselves.
Yeah, sweet. It's the role of government to steal other people's money through gross receipts taxes. That's what that episode was talking about. In other words, it's all right to tax people if they don't know about it. And here he is, Comrade Obermueller, saying that that is the role of government. So it's no wonder that he thinks that that's Republican. So, Jerry, please show me in the Republican Party platform that you claim that you support that it says that the role of government is to tax other people and to take their money. Yep, that is the chairman of the House Republican Caucus. Makes you feel all warm and fuzzy inside, doesn't it? And then there's Amber Oakley. Oh, Amber. Here was one of her contributions to Thursday night's ridiculous affair.
Yes, I'm aware of the current platform. I'm aware of, you know, all of the good old under Reagan, those principles that stand true. We're all aware of them. And I think very much, and I've said it many times, but I very much believe that Wyoming conservatism and the conservatism that I grew up with is actually conservative and actually believes in small and limited government. And those are the principles I stand for. And I think perhaps that's a good segue. I know that.
Got it. So whatever you think conservatism is, that's what conservatism is. I get it. You can rewrite the dictionary at will. And she's aware of the Republican Party platform, but, you know, it's Wyoming conservatism. So, Amber, the Republican Party is made up of Wyoming citizens, and the people that make up the State Central Committee, yeah, they come from your hometowns and your neighborhoods, and they all decide together on what the planks of the platform are. So really, I'm not exactly sure why you're so confused, but she's right. This is a good segue into another subject. You see, Amber Oakley is more than aware of what the Republican Party platform is. In fact, she signed a copy of it and initialed every single plank in the Wyoming Republican Party platform. And way down at the bottom of it, right above her signature, it says, and I quote, "Finally, having thus set forth our foundational principles and values, we invite all Wyoming citizens who substantially agree with us to offer their affirmation and support." Signed, Amber Oakley. So why does she sign such a crazy document? You know, one that doesn't agree with Wyoming conservatism. Well, it's obvious. She needed the support of Fremont County Republicans. And she was so eager to get elected that she would do almost anything to get into the House of Representatives, which evidently includes signing a document that she clearly does not agree with. I'm fairly certain that you've drawn the same conclusion from all of this that I have. Either Ember Oakley was lying when she signed that document, or she's lying now. Which is it, Ember? Being an attorney, I would think that she would be more cognizant about signing documents that might become a little problematic in the future. By the way, that document is on cowboystatepolitics.com for your perusal. And then there's our good pal Poisonberry Crago, my representative. Barf. Here's one of the things that he had to say Thursday night.
And this does, a lot of this stuff doesn't allow us to do that. And that's not the Wyoming I know. I mean, that's part of my problem with this. It's just a cultural thing.
But Iverson has invited you on.
To a place where we can disagree and we can get in a room and we can talk about our disagreements.
Yeah.
We don't have to agree when we leave, but at least we understand each other's points of view.
Use because Wyoming's moving away town from hall that. Because people just...
And it's moving away from that very quickly.
I agree, Barry. I miss those times, too, where we can get in a room and talk about things and or maybe come on somebody else's program and discuss our differences. There's only one problem, though. Here's what happens at your town halls, Representative Crago.
This is a town
hall. How about this? It's our town hall.
You know what it's I'm our saying? Town hall.
No, it's not.
It was instigated by our request.
No, ma'am. Marianne, we asked Ashley to come, and you can wait. It's our town hall. I'm hosting it, and William's hosting it.
The questions will be ours.
That's fine. You can ask whatever question you want.
We want to make sure we have
when Ashley's done.
Time to ask the question.
Yep. Please take your seat. It's Ashley's going to go ahead and present.
Understood.
And if you don't, hold on, folks. If you don't, we'll have you escorted out. Thank you.
Oh, so thank you very much. Oh.
That was the very first thing that happened at Barry Crago's last town hall. It's our town hall. If you don't do what I say, shut up and sit down. I'm going to have you thrown out. Nothing like getting in a room and talking about our differences, eh, Barry? So anyway, my friends, as you can see, everything that came out on Thursday night was a bunch of bullcrap. They're just mad that people are calling out their voting records and they're being held accountable. And they really don't like all of that information coming out anonymously. You see, that prevents them from doing whatever legal maneuver that they're going to do. They're lawyers, and that's their go-to response for anybody that challenges them. There's one more piece to this whole thing before I let you go for this morning. The people that put this on, Ember Oakley, Jerry Obermueller, Joe McGuire, Joe McGinley, Barry Crago, Bill Landon, and Jim Anderson, had no intention of actually having a debate. They knew for a fact that nobody from Y.O. Rhino, whomever that may be, was actually going to show up. Why would they? However, I and our pal Joey Correnti sent them a formal response to their debate challenge. We told them we're more than happy to drive to Casper and participate in their debate. They didn't even respond. Not an email, not a phone call, nothing. And I suppose the reason why they didn't is that it wouldn't serve their purposes to out whomever's behind Y.O. Rhino. And then there's, of course, the secondary reason that they definitely didn't want to be held accountable for their voting record. They know exactly what would happen to them if they agreed to debate your illustrious host. But my friends, it would be a large time for sure. Well, that'll about do it for today's installment of Weekend Update. Don't forget to sign up for the new Cowboy State Politics newsletter. You can do that at cowboystatepolitics.com. Go to the bottom of the page and there's a little form there. And if you put your name and your email address in there, I'll put you on the mailing list. I'm going to send it out every Friday afternoon. And just to give you a rundown of what happened during the week and when I've got it figured out, what's going to happen in the next week. Also, make sure you subscribe and follow the program. You can also do that from the website. Right on the episode, there's a little box up in the top right-hand corner. Click on it, subscribe, and follow, or you can do it from the podcast site when you click on the link. So subscribe and follow the program. Have a good rest of your weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. From the base of the Bighorns, at the Cowboys State Politics Northern Command Studio in Sheridan, Wyoming. I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.